Second, the government stocks of corn should be sold at prices that will promote a substantial increase in the production of meat, milk, and eggs. Now, direct controls over the uses of some scarce materials are desirable. For example, I could see no objection to prohibiting the use of copper for ornamental purposes. I could not see any objection to the prohibition on the use of stainless steel for decoration of automobiles. There are other types of prohibitions that might be established. I would see no objection to the prohibition of building of unnecessarily elaborate and expensive houses. In fact, I don't know, you might get a pretty good argument that we ought to quit making such things as Cadillacs. Maybe we wouldn't need them in time of war. I don't know about that. But there are some of those things that we could regulate. Well, we do regulate the use of materials at all times in a certain way. I think the regulation of the use of materials has, in a limited way, has much to recommend it. Now, direct controls over prices do not and cannot control inflation. At best, they can only delay its progress. One possible argument for direct price controls is that it makes it possible for the government to withdraw its supports for higher wages. It makes it politically possible, or at least politically more expedient. Now, even the most ardent supporters of direct price controls admit that in order to be effective, price controls must be accompanied by adequate fiscal policies and credit controls. But the point is that if sound fiscal and credit policies are adopted in the first place, there can be no inflation and no need for price ceilings. Now to summarize. First, inflation is an excess of demand over supply. It is more buying power than goods. Second, inflation in the 1951 American style is promoted by excessive borrowing from banks. Both private citizens and government create inflation by banks. Third, farmers and other businessmen profit by profits. Even moderate inflations destroy the value of savings, life insurance policies, and pensions. Greater inflations interrupt production, destroy the middle classes, and create an unbalanced society, and promote crime, vice, and revolution. Fourth, inflation can be controlled by the adoption of appropriate economic policies. The first step in the control of inflation should be to stop the overly rapid increase in private borrowing from banks. Second, the fiscal operations of the federal government should be carried out on a pay-as-we-go basis. Third, we should encourage and promote a rapid increase in industrial production. Fourth, we should use direct controls over prices, including wages, very sparingly. The procedures that we have recommended for the control of inflation are relatively simple. They do not require endless regimentation, nor an army of thousands for enforcement. Yet these policies, and only these policies, can be effective because only they get at the heart of the problem. It is essential that the public, and especially the leaders of the public, understand and strongly support these policies. That is the reason we have talked with you about them today. Thank you.
Friends, you have been...